Hello and welcome to Somos Mas, your source for New Mexico United news and everything else around the USL and Open Cup and a little bit of everything tonight. I am not Seth, obviously. I am Jacob, acting host for tonight. Seth had some family things that he had to deal with, but not like bad family things, like school events, stuff like that. Responsibilities of being a dad, which Earl will know. He kind of knows now and will definitely know when the newborn comes. But join me, as you can see, Earl Nieto. Earl, a.k.a. the better version of Phil Bakke, is what I'm going to call you because you guys look incredibly alike. How are you, sir?
I'm actually good. Yeah, I mean, I don't have much to say except for I'm good.
Okay, I guess I'm going to be talking the majority of this podcast. Cool. Josh. Somos Unidos, buddy. Glad you're with us. All righty. So we've got
this thing is working, right?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Yeah, just checking.
Yeah, I can hear you. You just said you didn't have a whole lot to talk about, so or a whole lot to say, which is unlike you, believe it or not.
No, trust me. We'll get to that. We'll get to the talking part.
Cool. All right. So we had two major announcements. An Open Cup draw and then another friendly announcement that we'll get to shortly. But first, a bye week in the league play. But we had an Open Cup match against the Lubbock Matadors out at Rio Rancho High School. Earl, you did not get to attend. Did you get to watch it?
I did. I did get to watch it. Yeah. I hate Rio Rancho Stadium.
So before you get there, so it was a 3-1 win for New Mexico United. New Mexico scored three goals in the span of 4 minutes on the clock. Brucey gets the assist on the first one. Harry finishes it off. Then Brucey with a very, very, very cheeky chip. And then Makwele Akale from 30 yards out on a free kick that was just swerving like crazy. And then a little bit later, I think it was like the 87th minute, Lubbock does earn a PK to get one back, which I'm glad that they got to score. They had about 50-ish fans there that were all drumming and louding and cheering and chanting pretty much the whole match. So I'm glad they at least got a goal out of it, even if they didn't get a win. But so what was your initial thoughts? Why don't you like Rio Rancho? Just the football field?
Yeah, it's a football field. It's not a soccer field. Turf sucks. Like, yeah, it's not a good place. Like, that's for sure. My reactions on my thoughts of the match, it was all over the place. Obviously, I was excited to see United hosting a Open Cup match. I feel like we should have put more away. I feel like we should have did more.
We definitely had some chances that should have either A, stood as a goal or been better finished, but.
Yeah. So like, I feel like we should have had more goals on the board, obviously. But it was a super fun match to watch. That's for sure. The first half was super nerve-wracking, especially going into the half 0-0. Obviously, with Brucey's goal being called back for offside, even though he wasn't.
I will say it was close. The angle that the camera shows, he looks pretty clearly onside. I think it was closer than we might be giving it credit for. And on those bang-bang offside calls, if it's like two or three steps, then I'll complain my ass off. But it was close enough that I'm gonna just let it go. Had we lost, obviously I would have been a little bit more adamant and upset about it. But it definitely was a goal that should have counted. But here we are. We also had, I think, Jacobo put one wide, Rivas put one wide, Flanagan put one wide.
Rivas is one that went wide to the right.
He was barely
off.
And so definitely should have, could have been better, but I mean, I don't know. You can't be mad about three goals, in my opinion. Three goals is it's quite a bit. Obviously, we, like last year, I think we won, what, 6-0 in our first round or in our first matchup in the Open Cup. The year before, I think we played Las Vegas Legends. I think that was 5-0, if I'm not mistaken. Lubbock was a good team, man. They came out. They played hard. They impressed me a couple times. They had a really good chance that they missed in the first half. And so Josh over in the comments, the turf took both teams time to adjust to, for sure. And I agree we should have done better, but 3-1 ain't bad for how well the Matadors played, especially defensively. Basically what I was saying, it was definitely a hard-fought match. And shout-out to Lubbock for one. I mean, we talked about it before we got drawn to Lubbock. I really wanted to face Lubbock. I kind of wanted to go there, but hosting them here was fun. They had, like I said, 50 or so people. The amount of people in Lubbock gear that I saw walking away from the merch stand with a little bag for New Mexico United was awesome to me. So they were definitely buying some New Mexico United gear, and hopefully we can kind of converted some of them to New Mexico United fans going forward in the Open Cup, and then maybe they can get into watching us during the league too. So kind of put it all together, like our overall thoughts. It's okay. Earl's got to step away, so I'm gonna solo it for a minute. The two or three things that stuck out. You know, we saw Denlotti have a very short-lived debut. He comes on late in the second half and then gets hurt, has to leave again, like in the last few minutes. I was actually sitting with Itamar when that happened, and we both just kind of put our hands in our heads and was just like, man, this guy can't catch a break. So hopefully whatever it was is nothing and he can be back fully tomorrow or today or whenever they train again. But it was hard to see him come on and then come off hurt. And then shout out to Jackson Dubois for making his pro debut, playing 90 minutes. He was playing right back for us, and he looked fantastic. He had a couple really nice touches and controls on some long passes to him. He made the right decision. Defensively, he was solid. Just beautiful to watch. And then, Earl, I want to get your opinion on this. So we go up 3-0, and then we bring on Abu Dunlady, former first overall draft pick in the MLS Super Draft. And we bring on Marco Micheletto, who's been arguably our most impactful player on the season. And we bring in Zico Bailey. To be up 3-0 and then bring those three players in, I was talking to it with some fans. I talked about it with Itamar. The depth of this team is kind of crazy. With that being said, you know, we've got a league match coming up this weekend, and then I think it's every weekend for quite a while. Coming up, we found out that May 8th is when we will play the next Open Cup match. So there's going to be some fixture congestion, especially in the month of May. I think we only have like 3 league games in May, so that kind of helps us out. But there will be 2 Open Cup matches in May. How do you think this depth affects our ability to make a run in the Open Cup while still keeping the form in the league?
We've said it before, the depth that we have of this team, it's kind of disgusting. Every player that we have is starting capability. I'm gonna kind of unbag a lot of the things that you just said. Starting with Dunlady. I was underwhelmed with his performance. I mean, yeah, he came in, he did what he needed to do. He didn't make any crazy mistakes or turnovers or anything like that. But it definitely showed that he still has some rust on the wheels and he still needs some time to gel with the team for sure.
Sure. I mean, we're we're February, March, April. We're basically 3 months into the season if you include training camp. And I think he's probably has single digit training sessions with the team under his belt. Maybe more than right. that. But at full strength, probably only about 9 to 15, maybe. And so, yeah, definitely needs some time to mesh for sure. And you kind of saw that there was one where he had a shot, where he took a shot that went straight to the keeper. And there were definitely some better options off to his right hand side that he could have laid it off to and maybe made the better play. But he wasn't sure that they were there or wasn't sure where they were going to be. And then obviously, you know, he's a nine. He's brought here to score. That's what he's known for. That's what he was drafted for back in 2018, I think it was. And so that's what he wanted to do. And you could see him wanting to kind of push that and him trying to get that finish instead of maybe making the better play to pass it off. So I agree fully.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, he came in, he did what he had to, but most importantly, he proved exactly the depth conversation that we're having. He proved he can be a reliable backup to Hursty when he needs it. He proved that Brucey is not our only backup when Brucey isn't even in that position. Yeah.
We're going to get to Brucey here in a minute.
Yeah, he showed, Dunlady showed a lot of explosiveness, or he showed glimpses of explosiveness and what he can be. So it makes me excited to see him fully healthy. So when we see him fully healthy, I mean, it's going to be nice. It's just a matter of getting him to that point and getting him gelled and meshed with the team for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Couldn't agree more there. Did you notice Jackson out there on the wing from that right back spot? Did you pay attention to him at all? Do you have anything to say about his performance? And honestly, if you don't, that shows that he was solid, because as a part of that back line, if you don't stand out, that means you're doing a good job.
So I like Jackson. I have faith in him. I think he can be good. In the first half, he showed signs of what he can be and what he can do. But again, he's a high school kid playing in the academy.
Should mention he's 18, out of La Cueva High School, played club ball for Rio Rapids. He's on a two-way contract with the academy and the first team, along with a couple other players. And so he's still young, but I think he has an ability. I mean, anytime, like Josh says here, being at the game, we noticed Dubois in a very positive way. The crowd was really rooting for him. Anytime you get a New Mexico athlete in there, Nava, Dev, Suggs, and now somebody like Dubois, Jay Seiss, who's another academy contract kid. You get somebody in there that's from New Mexico and was brought up through the system, through the academy system and everything like that. They're obviously going to have that fan backing more than, you know, an Avion Flanagan, who we brought in from League One. Not to say that Flanagan doesn't have the backing, but there's just something special about it being a local player. And I think he might be able to contribute, man. I wouldn't be surprised if we see him and have a few more appearances this year, whether it's Open Cup or the friendly against FC Juarez, which we'll get to that announcement here shortly, or even in the league.
Yeah, I mean, so like I was saying, he came in, he started, he got his first start, and showed signs of what he can do. But with it being his first meaningful match with the first team, he definitely showed signs of him also needing to gel, which is expected. I don't expect him to come in and be a Carlos Vela on the right side and just tear it apart.
Right.
He came in, he was solid. I was impressed with him holding his own on that side. Give him more time. Give him more training reps with the first team, and he's going to be solid. Give him more mentorship under Akale or Harris. I mean, we have stars that can mentor our young kids, right? Our young athletes right now, our academy, that it's going to make a world of difference. So give Dubois a couple more months of just training with the first team and look
and
out.
I think what it really does for me is just, we already mentioned the depth already, but now you have yet another capable body to put on that back line and play. You know, we got Flanagan, you got Gloucester, you got Astorga, Bailey's been back there before, Harry's been back there before, and now you throw in Dubois, and that's going to allow everybody to stay fresh throughout this long season, especially if we can make an Open Cup run like we want to. And so just kudos to him. He gets the game ball from coach after the match. He has a very little speech. Obviously, you could tell in the video that the team put out that he didn't want to make that speech. He says he loves you guys to the other players, and they give him a hard time and give him a little aw action, but seems like a great kid, played a heck of a game. Who else stood out for you? Let's make it clear. I believe Brucey was man of the match, so we will get to him in a minute. Is he your man of the match as well?
No, actually he's not.
Okay, perfect. Let's get to some other names that stood out for you in a positive way, and then bring up your man of the match if you would.
I think the subs that came on later in the second half. Obviously with us going 0-0 into half, something wasn't being done right. We obviously wanted to avoid the El Paso syndrome.
Yeah, trust me, we'll get there.
And can't wait. Obviously wanted to avoid that syndrome and actually walk away with a win. Our back line without having Maples back there, that was nice to see that we can actually hold our own without.
Yeah, it's pretty nice when you can replace Talon Maples with a Will Seymour and have that ability to have that depth there.
I think Flanagan, I mean, he was bombing up the left side almost all night. Sergio had a really good night.
He did, which is good. He was coming back from an injury. Sergio's always been kind of hit or miss for me. He's never been my favorite style of player, but he did look good. Probably should have had a goal. But he did play pretty well. And it's just another problem that's presented in the midfield with depth and who's going to start and who's going to get minutes and stuff like that. So having him come in after being out for a while and look as sharp as he did, really good sign.
But really, I think my man of the match is going to be Akali.
Okay. Not a bad shout. I mean, he was all over the place.
I mean, yeah, he scored the incredible free kick, which we haven't seen those since the Bees days when Bees was actually healthy. So seeing that kind of gave me PTSD from the Bees days. But he tore apart the left side in the first half. And even though we didn't score, he still made an impact on that left side where he was constantly bombing down, getting the ball into the box where it needed to be. The ball just takes stupid bounces when you're sitting on turf. And then the second half, they moved him over to the right side. From left to the right side, and he once again tore apart the right side, but then he drifted into midfield into the left side and caused more havoc on that side again. Yeah, so he was kind of like free flowing night before last. So he's my man of the match, and then just topping it off with one of the craziest free kicks on turf that I've ever seen.
Yeah, that was nuts, man. I mean, so I was down behind the goal that we were attacking in the second half. And, Brucey gets free on the right side, gets to the touchline and cuts it back, gets to the baseline, cuts it back. Harry makes a great run to get in front of the defender, deflected in the goal. And you're like, okay, here we go. We're off. And then like a minute later, minute and a half later, Brucey with the chip. And another minute later, 2 minutes later, whatever it was, Akalai's lining up for this free kick. And I'm like, okay, yeah, this is a decent chance, but he's too far out to do anything with it himself. So I kind of was focusing. I took a couple pictures of Kale and him getting ready and kicking the ball. And then I swung to try to figure out who he was aiming for, whose head he was aiming for. And it's in the back of the net. And the people that were back there behind the goal with me were like, I didn't even take a picture of celebrations or anything because I couldn't. I was just stunned by the fact that that thing went in. I mean, it was insane. But so Akale is a good shout. Love Akale. He's been tremendous. Nobody can stay in front of him when he has the ball at his feet. It's impossible to win the ball off of him. Yep, we got two over in the chat. Christina saying that free kick was a flame emoji. And then Josh saying, seeing that kick in person was crazy. It was crazy. That goal was, I don't even know. I'm at a loss for words. But let me tell you why you're wrong about Akale being the man of the match. Last year, we saw Quill come in and do the crazy thing of putting Bruce at a number 9. And I'll be damned if it hasn't worked brilliantly since then. His pressing, his ability to make good runs, to not just score, but to get that assist to Harry, to put people in a position to succeed. We saw the goal that was disallowed because he was supposedly offside. The man, one, who doesn't love, like, show me a person that's a New Mexico United fan that doesn't love Bruce. My mind would be blown if there wasn't one. Not only because of what he does on the pitch, but he's just like the best dude. He's just the best kind of person. So genuine, so kind. He's the only player that's been with us since year one now. And to come out and have a performance like that, one disallowed goal, one banger, just the chip. I mean, I don't know if you looked at the post that I put out for us earlier, but that sequence of events, man, photographing that was hilarious because the keeper, who I really liked, he was very vocal, very good guy, but he was just so deflated after that thing went over his head and into the back of the net. And Brucey just does all the little things that make a difference. His hustle is always there. We've always talked about his hustle and how he just never stops. This year and last year from the 9 position, he's making a difference with like on the actual score sheet and in the counting stats with assists and everything like that. And then one thing that I noticed last night that Christina just brought up when they were announcing the starters, man, captain's armband to Brucey, which I thought was just chef's kiss, brilliant there. So to have the captain's armband, to do all the little things, but then also create that first goal, get us off the schneid there, and then have the wherewithal. He mentions it in the post-game presser, which I don't have the video up for us here. I'll probably clip it and put some up on social media later. He talks about, yeah, just getting into that position, looking up, seeing the keeper was off his line and thinking, yeah, I'll have a go at it, and strikes it perfectly, falls into the back of the net. I'm not going to bicker too much with Akale, but Brucey is just, maybe it's because, you know, I've got his autograph right there. My dog is named Brucey. Maybe, or maybe, like, if you ask my wife, it's not after Daniel Bruce, but if you ask me, it is. So maybe I'm being biased there, but I mean, he just had a fantastic night all around. And so shout to him. I think everybody had a pretty solid match. Shakes was a little shaky, no pun intended. He had one that he got a hand on and it went down between his legs and He had to like reach back and grab it. Luckily there was no pressure on him there. And then one, when there was pressure, I don't know what happened. Him and Herbert had a little miscommunication and ended up going between his legs there, but he was able to grab it and keep it out of the back of the net. But still had the clean sheet until the PK and still looked pretty solid. So I think everybody had a great time or had a pretty good match there. And I was excited for everything there. It was different for me, the field and everything. Like I saw it affecting how the ball traveled, but Christina got me a laugh over there. I do not say Bruce most of the time. I do every once in a while, and I'm playing around with him, but if he's mad, it takes too long. I just have to yell at him and say Bruce. So good question though. I could see the ball holding up on the pitch a little bit more, on the field a little bit more. But I will say, man, when we get a soccer-specific stadium, if I'm free to move around like I was taking pictures, I will freaking love that, because that crowd was elevated, so I could be moving around without being in somebody's way. And I had a great time.
Yeah, I mean, I was watching it at home, and I enjoyed watching it, that's for sure. Obviously, Mexico United, I kind of bleed it at this point. But it sucked not being there. It really did. And that's something that...
Yeah, let's get to that, Earl. So
here's my take.
Okay, go ahead.
Because... So do you want to break the news first about the friendly, or
yeah,
how do you
want to do this? Let's do that. Let's talk about these next two matches that were announced that we found out about today, or today and yesterday. So yesterday the club announces a friendly with FC Juarez coming up in June. And Earl, you were bummed about this. Tell me why. Well, you were excited about it, but you were also bummed about it. Tell me why.
Yeah, so I'm excited to have FC Juarez come to Albuquerque, as it's a measuring stick to see where we are against other leagues and other teams worldwide. What I'm not excited about is a Wednesday match. And it's kind of my same take with, or it's my same feeling with these Open Cup matches. The only difference is we can't control Open Cup matches. Open Cup says, hey, you're playing on Tuesday or Wednesday. These are your dates. These are the times. Have fun. When we're scheduling these friendlies, we have control over these.
Yeah, but we don't have, it's like the schedule has, like there's only so many Saturdays and during the league season that we don't have a match, right? Mm-hmm. FC Juarez, they're in the middle of their regular season too.
And I get that. I 100% get it. Do I agree with it? No, I don't.
So what I never what will. Hearing,
even when I lived in Moriarty, I still didn't agree with it, and I live 25 minutes away.
So what I'm hearing is you want to have your cake and eat it too, which, by the way, side note, exactly, is a dumb saying, but because if I have cake, of course I want to eat it.
Which if you guys want to send me a cake a week from today, feel free to do so.
I probably won't, but we'll see.
Fuck you too, then. Anyways. But no,
it's, I don't know what else you want. Like, I understand.
It's not the hill I'm willing to die on.
It's not that I don't understand like your argument. There's just not an option. It's like the people that are arguing that we should just stay in Isotopes Park. Like, that's not an option.
Yeah, I don't agree with that. For one,
that's a side note. I'm just saying there's no other option. If we want to have these kind of friendlies, you know, if we want to have Cardiff City, if we want to have FC Juarez, if we want to have an MLS team or anybody for that matter, more often than not, it's going to have to be midweek. And I think teams are willing to come out here, even if it's midweek, because we still draw 9,000-10,000 people on a Wednesday night. Does it suck?
Yeah. So
yes, but you're also complaining to the very wrong person, because on the Saturday games, I usually work all day Saturday, go to the match, drive home, get back at like 1 a.m, and then go to work on Sunday. So there are some differences
Okay, I'm glad you brought that up.
Okay. ahead.
I'm glad you brought that up because most people don't know this, but Mr. Jacob here. So I'll start with myself. If I go to a match and get home at 2 a.m. on a Wednesday, for example, I get home at 2 a.m. I have to wake up at 4 to be out the door by 6 to be at work by 7.
What do you do for 2 hours?
I get ready and then Maya gets up and Marlena gets up and it's not just me getting ready at this point. Our water pressure here sucks, so we have to stagger our times and we have to plan pretty much.
Just don't shower, Earl.
That's not going to happen there, Jacob. So like I was saying,
this is all self-inflicted at this point. I don't feel sorry for you anymore at all.
Even if I wake up at 5, I'll give you 5 o'clock out the door by 6.
Okay.
At work by 7. Work all day. Mm-hmm. Why don't you give me your timeline, Mr. Jacob?
Okay. Yeah. You go to work in an air conditioned office. Cool. You are correct. I don't have a commute. And I'm also,
ladies and gentlemen,
I'm not
in case you're wondering.
So
if you're wondering what Jacob is talking about, he literally can wake up, open his eyeballs, open his front door and stretch.
It's not entirely true. Okay. I do live at the park. Yes. But I still have to get up. I still have to get ready. I still have to gear up. And then most of the time in the summer, I am outside the rest of that time. And so I'm sorry that you have to drive 45 minutes in an air conditioned car or a heated car to your air conditioner heated building to go in and sit in an office for 45 minutes. I apologize. Boo-hoo.
And it's not even that. It's the drive. It's the 45 minute drive that I'd be making on 2 hours of sleep.
Okay. This is a discussion for another time. The fact
this is another hill I'm going to die on. Just
the
so
fact
you know.
Of the matter is, I'm sorry that you won't go to any midweek matches. I apologize, even though it's not my fault. If we want to play teams like this, we have to do it midweek. And so I'd rather it be midweek and Earl can't go, but 10,000 other people can, than not have it at all. I apologize.
Okay, so back to that. Back to that. So I have a script, by the way. I worked on this all day. So to bring a club in like FC Juarez, yeah, you're going to draw your 10,000 fans. You're going to draw your 9,000 because it's a Wednesday. People don't go out on Wednesdays because they have to work early in the morning. We're not all luxurious. Like, we don't all have the luxury of Jacob to wake up and throw your shoes on and call
I
it good.
I drive 2.5
money.
Hours. To You can't say luxury of waking up at my work.
I don't want to hear it. So, yeah, it's going to draw numbers like it did with Sunderland. Which, yeah, it was a Wednesday, which I think we got 9,000 at night. Either way. But it's going to get packed. The lab's going to get packed, which is cool. I'm glad. As a fan, before a journalist, yeah, I'm excited for that.
Sorry, this just crossed my mind. There were 50 Lubbock fans in Albuquerque, in Rio Rancho, for the match on Tuesday night. And you can't make it. Here's my thing. The friendly, I'm probably not going to make it to. So the real question is, once we move past the FC Juarez, which is going to be June 19th at 7 o'clock at the lab, the real question is, the other match that we found out about, today was the Open Cup draw for the round of 32 and the round of 16. We got put into a pod or group, whatever you want to call it, with NYFC, NYCFC 2, which doesn't make any geographical sense, but I completely understand that there were teams that they just had to put somewhere. And then Colorado Springs Switchbacks and Real Salt Lake of the MLS. We are lucky enough to have drawn a home match against Real Salt Lake. So it'll be the first time that New Mexico United gets to host an MLS side. We've gone to multiple MLS sides, but we have yet to host one here. And it will be, I believe, hold on, I want to double check. It will be here at the lab on Wednesday, May 8th at 7 o'clock. So that is a Wednesday match. Will you make it to that one? Will all your complaining and the rules that you have, or all the things that you've complained about, matter for that one?
And actually, like I told you in the chat that we have, probably not. And not because it's a Wednesday match, not because of anything, the timing or anything like that, but because I'm starting a new job next Saturday. So it's like his 8th
job since I've met him, by the way.
You're not wrong.
I know I'm not wrong.
So on that note, when you get offered almost $70,000 a year, you can't say no. Regardless of that. So for me, I can't make it because the new job that I'm starting that won't really sit well with a new employer 2 weeks into my new.
You could be like, hey, I'm accepting the job, but I really need this Thursday off. I know I just started. I
put in a bunch of time off.
No, okay, that's your problem. Anyway,
but it's because I have doctor's appointments. So I put time off for doctor's appointments because, as many of you guys know, I'm not pregnant, but my fiance is. I just look like I'm pregnant. I feel like it too. So yeah, so no, I won't make it to the Wednesday match, but not because of the timing or the day or anything like that, because that's something we can't control, but because of
new job,
the new job,
pregnant fiance. I get you.
Exactly. Pregnant Earl, blah, blah, blah.
What is your thoughts on the group that we were in, the draw that we got, and how do you see any of this playing out? Josh, real quick, Josh does bring up a couple good points in the chat. I'm not going to bring up his weekend, weeknight one because I don't want to pile on you too much. He does say four corners game for the Open Cup, which I miss the four corners cup from the first year. And then he does say that if they bring Aranjo, it'll be tough. That's Chicho Aranjo, their star striker, formerly of LAFC, who is playing out of his mind right now. So does Real Salt Lake bring their A team? Do we bring our A team? How does that match play out?
I think at this point, you don't have a choice but to bring your A team, especially going against an MLS team. You're not going to bring in Dubois. You're not going to have Shakes in there for sure. You're going to have your A team. You're going to have Hursted. You're going to have Akale. You're going to have Harris. You're going to have everyone that you would have on a regular Saturday night for this one. It's all hands on deck. I mean, you can't afford to lose it. I mean, you're in the round of 32 against an MLS squad, a decent MLS squad at that. I mean, they're sitting in fourth right now. I think if you compare us apples to apples, they're only 1 point ahead of us. So if we think we're doing good on our side, they're doing good on their side, and they've played in the snow and the wind and stupid ass elevation because they're in freaking Utah. But getting to the groupings, I thought the groupings were super interesting. It seemed like there was always one outlying team that would have to travel somewheres. I think the worst one they got was Loudon, traveling from Loudon all the way to freaking Orange County. That's not an easy trek to make.
I mean, NYCFC 2 isn't like that much better having to come. They're hosting. They're hosting. Because they're hosting Colorado Springs in our group.
Yeah, so I mean.
So Colorado
Springs. I think Colorado Springs has the. Yes, they kind of got it there. But the pairings, I mean, like I said, interesting. For example, Loudon traveling to Orange County. We see that in the regular season.
Once.
So to get to see it again, and if it's not happening this year where Orange County is going to Loudon, I mean, well, I guess we play them both, right? Home and away?
Once, yeah.
No?
We play Orange County once a year. We play Loudon.
Once,
either here or there. I don't remember this year.
Okay. Then Louisville going to St. Louis, or to Seattle, I mean.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I can't wait to see that one. There were a lot of championship versus championships, which I was kind of upset about, but I mean.
Well, there's 20 USL championship teams and only 12 non-USL championship teams. So
yeah,
it was.
So I mean, it was bound to happen. So I was upset about it, but it's acceptable, I guess. But I think the matchup I'm looking forward to, I kind of already spoiled it, was the Louisville City, the Lou City, and the Seattle. I mean, you have a powerhouse in the MLS. Hmm. I think they won the Supporters Shield last season.
No, last year they finished like fourth, but so Lou City has made the Eastern Conference Championship every year they've been a team. Which is like 9 seasons in a row. They've had like 2 cups, and then they have like 3 other appearances in the USL Championship Cup, so, or USL Cup. So as far as USL teams are concerned, especially with Lynn Family Stadium being what it is and how nice it is and everything, they're, to me, it's them as far as organizations in the USL, and then there's everybody else.
Yeah, so I mean, when you're looking at Seattle, they're an MLS powerhouse. Like,
mm-hmm. You struggling hear Seattle, year, mind you, but it's still Seattle. So,
right, and they always come back and figure out a way to make playoffs and sometimes win the damn thing. And then Lou City, who we just talked about being one of the faces of the USL. I mean, you think USL and you think Lynn Family Stadium. I would hate to play Lou City right now on the tear that they're at. So I'm kind of glad they got hooked up with Seattle to see what they can do. But I like our grouping that we were put in. I mean, for the most part, we're all in a bubble, pretty much, with the exception of New York, NYCFC2. But I'm glad they got linked up with Colorado, because NYCFC2 is not that great of a team, and neither is Colorado, let's be honest. No one.
Whoever wins out of us and Real Salt Lake is set up nicely to make it to the quarterfinals.
Right. I mean, because both those teams are terrible, I'm going to be honest.
One matchup that I want to point out is Union Omaha hosting MLS side Sporting Kansas City.
Houston.
Sporting Kansas City. That one is going to be a fun one. Houston is hosting Detroit City. But Union Omaha hosting Sporting Kansas City. Those will be good. That'll be a good match. Unfortunately, if an MLS side takes this thing seriously, like Josh was saying in the chat with Arango coming, they theoretically should kind of walk all over pretty much everybody. If Sporting KC takes it seriously, Union Omaha probably doesn't have a chance. But at this point, who knows what these MLS teams are going to do? And even if they bring their, you know, B+, A- team, but those players aren't motivated, who knows? Anything could happen. And, I know there's been a lot of fuss with the U.S. Open Cup this year, with the MLS teams not coming, all the MLS teams not coming and everything like that. I, for one, have been pretty excited with the product that we've had so far and the layout that we've had. It's been a lot easier to follow, in my opinion, as far as like who's playing who and the matchups and stuff like that. I wish they were all on ESPN Plus or something like that still, but at least they've all been free to stream. Everybody theoretically can get access to it if you have internet. And so I've been pretty happy about it. I like these groups. They're kind of different. They're kind of like, we're not going to play Phoenix, at least not unless Phoenix makes it to the quarterfinals as well as us. And so that's nice. And we're not going to play El Paso because El Paso is 0-4 in this tournament since they have come into the USL Championship. And you lose yet again to the aforementioned Union Omaha team, going down in PKs after they were down 10 men. What was the highlight of this match, and why was it Amando Moreno kicking a ball into orbit?
The highlight of the match was the final score. I mean, seeing El Paso lose 5-3 on PKs, I mean, it's nice. I don't really want to spend my time talking about El Paso, though.
You don't want to talk about Moreno just absolutely sky. The only thing I want to talk about was Moreno skying a PK, which made
here's my new.
Oh no, I don't. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know where he's going with this. I'm nervous.
I haven't had a crazy take in a while, so it's about time for one. I'm pretty well overdue. The new professional Earl hasn't had a hot take in quite some time.
Probably since he almost got us bombed by Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, that too. We'll go back to that day one day. I am convinced that Amando Moreno is taking this New Mexico United El Paso rivalry a little too serious.
Okay.
I'm starting to think he went down to El Paso.
Mm-hmm. He did.
Took their fucking money.
Mm-hmm. That's a fact.
And decided to completely sabotage them.
I don't know, man. He's got 3 goals on the season.
Yeah, because he can't make it obvious.
He could have done that same PK kick against Union Omaha against us when he kicked that PK, and I'd have been okay with that.
I would have been okay with that too. But
I don't think El Paso needs sabotaging. I think they just suck right now.
I am, for the past 5 years, though, 4 years.
Well, Open Cup, yes, for the past.
Okay, three years. They've sucked all season, including Open Cup, for the past 3 years. But I digress.
I mean, they finished ahead of us last year, so.
Okay, enough digression. I am 100% convinced that Amando Moreno went down to El Paso to sabotage them because he takes the rivalry a little too serious.
I mean, maybe you're right. Maybe you're right. I don't think you are, but maybe you are. All I know is Fep and that a Moreno PK was freaking comedy gold.
And
almost as much as Seriously Loco's Twitter, because I love that right now too.
I have to get on there and watch them.
It's fantastic. You get things like that video that we showed last week of them just looking completely distraught.
Yeah, so let's go ahead and talk about North Carolina.
Hold on, real quick.
We're on day after tomorrow.
Yeah, on the Open Cup still. Even with matches this Saturday, next Saturday, the following Saturday, and then the Open Cup match Wednesday, and then another match the following Saturday, you still think do we rotate our squad against Vegas the week before the Open Cup? Do we rotate it against? Oh shit! One second.
I got you.
It's okay. I had it right here. Do we rotate it against Oakland at home the Saturday after the Open Cup, or do we just say, "Hey, you guys are all going to go out and play 3 matches in 8 days and expect them to perform like that?"
So I'm trying to see. We have a tough stretch. So we play North Carolina, and then we turn around and play.
We go North Carolina, Tampa Bay, and then two Vegas, and then the Open Cup, and then here for Oakland.
Okay. So I honestly think that we partially rest during Vegas. And by that, we still play the 70 minutes, but the main stars that we need, like Greg Hurst and different names like that, will get their break come about the 70th minute of the Vegas match, and then full wheels for Real Salt Lake. And then depending on the Real Salt Lake match, if we win, I think we get a break. And yeah, if we lose...
The second round's not till the 21st and 22nd of May, which would be – so the Oakland match is the 11th. Then we would have, similar to this week, we would have had like 11 days until the next Open Cup match after we play Oakland. But then we would play – the Open Cup match would be right before San Antonio, like 3 or 4 days before hosting San Antonio.
Yeah, so I think that we – I think we rest a little bit during Oakland as well, depending on the result of Open Cup. If we win, then yeah, we're going to rest. But I think if we lose, then some will get rest, but a lot will still play because now we still have a season to go.
Well, and as we talked about, like, I expect Tambakas to pretty much play from here on out, barring an injury, in the Open Cup and league play, because it's a keeper position. You've seen them go out midweek and play and then play again on the weekend. As far as our field position players, like, we're just so deep that, you know, I think we can field a team with players that haven't been starting for us very often. I think we can field a team of those players against a team like Vegas or Oakland here at the lab and still be competitive, and then maybe play, you know, Hurst, Harris, whatever, later in that match if the result is still in the balance. So I think I agree. I think for this one, you kind of got to go full bore against Real Salt Lake because it's an MLS side, because it's at home finally. I don't think they'll go out and put, you know, three Academy kids and Shakes and whoever else out there against this Real Salt Lake team. And Josh Minson mentioned it earlier, you know, worst case scenario, we overprepare and they underestimate us and we win. And so definitely agree with you guys on that one. I don't want to lose any standing in the league, which back in 2019, when we made that run to the quarterfinal, we were not deep at all. And it definitely showed in the league play that year. So I think we have enough depth this year and enough squad rotation that will allow us to make those changes while still being competitive in both. And I'm really looking forward to that. So now, sorry, Earl, you jumped the gun earlier. I wasn't quite ready to not talk about Open Cup. We will move on to this coming Saturday, just a mere 2 days away. New Mexico United will be traveling to North Carolina to face the USL League One champs, North Carolina FC. After they basically promoted up, we had a little bit of promotion relegation there. Well, no relegation, but a little bit of promotion there. They come up. We will be in North Carolina, 5 o'clock Mountain Time on Saturday. Who do we need to keep an eye out for on North Carolina? And what have you followed them at all? Do you have any ideas of how they've been this year?
So I haven't followed North Carolina much. I want to say they're sitting on one win, somewhere along that line.
They have one win.
Yeah.
Three draws
and a loss. One win, two draws, two losses.
They're 1-3-1. I never, depending on where you look, I don't know what the 1-3-1 means. If it's how it should be, which I think is wins, draws, losses, or if it's wins, losses, and draws.
So I have them 1-3-2. One win, three draws, and two losses.
Three draws? Three draws.
Three draws and two losses. Sorry, I got a little tongue twisted. They've played 6 matches, so one win, three draws, two losses.
So they drew to Charleston in week one, 0-0 in North Carolina. Loudon beat them. They drew against Tampa Bay. They beat Hartford. Detroit City FC beat them. They drew Birmingham. And then, of course, they won their Open Cup match this week. So if you look at that, Detroit up at the top of the table in the East, they took care of them. Charleston, who beat us 4-0, it was a 0-0 draw. I don't count that 4-0 fully with the health of our players that was in question. Loudon kind of took it to them, but they've held tough. They they have at least competed.
Yeah. So I think, and this might be where I need to be fact checked. I might be off a little bit. So I think the players to watch for North Carolina are obviously Rodrigo Da Costa and Colin Martin. Both are players that we have faced for the past 5 years, 4 years in USL. Colin Martin coming from San Diego. Rodrigo Da Costa, I think he was with San Antonio.
No, he was a Tulsa player. So he Tulsa. Actually, he played for Tulsa Roughnecks in our first year and then stayed with them when they were Tulsa FC. He got traded to Memphis last year. That's for Philip Goodrum, and then made the move over to North Carolina FC this year after North Carolina FC came up from League One.
And the part that I need to be fact checked on, both these guys have scored on United, I believe.
Da Costa for sure has.
I'm not sure if Colin Martin did. I want to say he did. I want to say it was the Ilya Illich sliding bicycle kick.
Oh, that match? Okay.
When Maybe. We drew 1-1.
It's very possible. He's definitely, I don't think of him as a scoring threat. I think of him more as a kind of a box-to-box midfielder. But I also haven't watched him like super closely.
Right.
Those are two good shots, though. Da Costa is probably the easiest one to pick from, especially with his success that he's had against United and the fact that we've seen him. And then he's just a really talented and good player. So nobody really has a lot of goals for him. They're kind of like us. As far as goals are concerned, they basically just have a slew of people with one goal.
I think four people have one goal.
Five people is what I'm looking at here. But yeah, okay. That might be including the Open Cup match. I'm not sure. Oh, never mind. It is not. It is just in league play. So yeah, their team, they come up, they keep most of their core intact from the League One side. And then they just kind of build around it. You know, they add Da Costa, they add Colin Martin, they add Paco Craig, they add a handful of solid USL championship players, Lamar Batista, Evan Conway. Trying to look and see if there's any other names that really kind of stick out to me. And so definitely some players that we are familiar with. It's a team that I don't think is going to go. To me, they don't scream like, we're going to come blow the doors off you with our offense. We're going to be more compact, more defensive minded. It'll be a tough test for us to try to break that down. But I do think that we have the talent to do so. It's just a matter of being able to overcome that travel to the East to get over this midweek match. It wasn't on Tuesday, which is nice. Gives us a little bit of extra time to rest up and prepare for them. But it's a game that I think we should at least get a result in. So with that being definitely. Said.
Before you get, so I have something that leads into my prediction.
Good. I love this.
So it kind of goes back into the rotation with us playing a few matches in the past couple days, them playing just about the same amount in about a shorter period of time because they played last night instead of Tuesday. So North Carolina played a tough match last night, and then they're expected to turn around and face a somewhat rested United squad because we didn't play all of our starters. Mm-hmm. I don't think we rest starters this week against North Carolina like we did against Lubbock. But I also expect us to rest some players that picked up some small knocks here and there, given the short time frame that we have. So obviously if someone has a twisted ankle, then they probably won't see the pitch. If they do, they'll see it for maybe a half. I still expect us to come out competitive, and I still expect to see our big guns out there, such as Greg Hurst, Deion Harris, Akale, Micheletto. Like, I still expect to see those guys out there playing for sure. We'll see those names that we didn't see on Tuesday night play tomorrow night for sure. So looking at the numbers, and I posted this for you guys last week.
I forget we have our New Mexico tactics guy with his math and equations and nonsense.
Yeah, so this one does not fare well for us. I mean,
really?
I could share my screen real quick. That way you guys can see what I'm talking about. And it's nice when I'm using my laptop because then you guys can actually see what I'm talking about. Exactly. So entire screen, share. Can you see that?
Got you.
Okay, so what I'm looking at here is Mexico United on the left because they're away, North Carolina up top. North Carolina's attack rating right now is 1.23. Okay. Our attack rating is 1.35. We have a slight edge on percentage to win, but not by much. We're looking at 39 to 33%. That's up here on the top for those of you following along. If you're not a math person, I am so sorry.
Neither is Earl.
I'm really not either, so it's okay. That's why I have this. 0 goals, 26 and 29%. 1 goal for North Carolina, 36% chance. So right now, North Carolina is expected to get at least 1 goal. There's 36% chance of that. But we're right there with them. So I want to say, given the turnaround and the timing of all the matches, based off of this, I'm going to go with the highest number being 1-1.
Okay. I too think we see a starting like our normal, like Micheletto and Akale and Harris, if he's healthy. We saw Harris go off against El Paso at halftime, so I'm not sure how he's feeling. I saw him walking around at the match on Tuesday. Didn't seem to have a limp. Kalen did have a brace on the outside of his pants there that made me think he probably wouldn't be ready for this weekend, but said he was getting better day by day. We'll see what happens with Dunlady, if he's going to be able to come back or not after going off in the Open Cup match. So I'm hoping that he would have come back on if there would have been like 10, 15 minutes left, but because there was only a couple minutes left, I'm thinking maybe that's why he didn't come on and it wasn't anything too seriously. So, but I think he's a sub at best at this match for this match. I think we see, you know, the same one that we had against El Paso, the same lineup we had against El Paso to start if Harris is healthy. And I think we can do enough to get a result out of this match. I'm not going to say that we come in and we light the world on fire, but I see us getting 2 goals and North Carolina, it kind of depends on how Tambakis is playing and then the efforts of mainly the midfield and how we control the ball and control the pace of the match. One name we didn't mention that also got some playing time in the Open Cup match is Nanan Hosu, a player that I thought was going to feature heavily for this squad. I'm hoping that we see him a little bit on Saturday, but no matter who we see, I think we've got it. We're going to have a good enough squad that we get a result there. And I'm going to say 2-1. Feels like a cop out because I say that's the most popular score line, but I will say 2-1. I'm not sure.
You know what? I'm actually going to change my prediction.
Oh, no. Okay.
I think Tambakis gets his clean sheet. It's going to be 1-0.
Okay. All right. I like that. Let us know in the comments what you guys think, what the scoreline prediction will be. Other than that, how are you feeling about this season as a whole, real quick, before we get out of here? How confident, like on a scale of 1 to 10, how confident are you that we'll be at least competing for a home playoff spot and we can maybe make a quarterfinal or more run in the Open Cup?
I'm super confident about that. I mean,
both things.
I think we make a super deep run in the cup. As much as I hate the cup, I think we make a deep run. But also, I think we stay competitive given the depth that we have and the ability to interchange and plug and play pretty much. So I think at the end of the season, we're still looking at a home playoff match. I still think my early prediction was second place. I still think we're sitting second place. It was second place that I had us. Nice. I'm still confident.
One thing I will say is that results last weekend in the league, we had a bye week. Results fell perfectly for us. I think two teams could have passed us. Monterey Bay played Las Vegas. Monterey Bay ended up beating Las Vegas, so Monterey Bay did jump us. But San Antonio was playing, and they could only muster a draw, so they stayed below us in the table. And then the two teams that were above us that could have built on their lead, Sacramento and Orange County, both drew, respectively. So technically, we are sitting in fourth, but we have a match in hand. If we were to win that match, like if we were to play tomorrow and win that match and nothing else changed on the table, we would be in first place. So results fared great for us there. I think going into this weekend, if we can come away with anything, it's great. If we can go to North Carolina and get a win, we'll be sitting just absolutely perfect, I think. And no matter what, I agree with you. The Open Cup run is going to come down to this match against Real Salt Lake. I think if we don't see their A squad because they're not taking it seriously, or even if they come in, I think we can get past them. I don't know if I would predict that we get past them yet. But if we do get past them, it sets up really nicely for us to at least get to the quarterfinals, because in the round of 16, we would be either traveling to North Carolina or New York, NYCFC2, or to Colorado Springs, both of which are teams that we theoretically should beat even on the road. And that would set us up nicely to get to that quarterfinal matchup and the final eight and see who we would play then. And so at the end of the day, I agree, especially with some of the teams like Colorado, like El Paso, like Oakland, and some other teams that have just not kind of lived up to where we thought they would be. Memphis is another one that I know some people were high on. Tulsa has kind of outperformed what a lot of us on the show thought of, but they're still not up to the level that I think we will be at. So I think it's setting up fairly nicely, very early, mind you, very early in the season. I think it is setting up nicely for us to be able to make a run at second place, maybe even first place, and also compete in the Open Cup. And so with that being said, going to close with Josh's comment here. We're headed in a great direction right now. Great spot, great squad, great mentality. The test will be keeping this up through the rest of the season, which I fully agree. I think the mentality of this squad does seem to be different in all the conversations I've had, in the actions that we've seen. I mean, Earl, do any of our previous iterations of teams win that El Paso match after going down 2-1 in like the 86th minute?
I don't think so. I mean, even when we go tied at, I think, the 70th minute or whatever it was,
right,
or 84th or something like that, late in the match when we tie and we draw, and we're tied 1-1 late in the match, we don't, any other past United team does not make that comeback. So I think them going down 2-1 and coming back to win it 3-2 shows what we are. And then last night, I mean, 3 goals in 4 minutes. Any other team does not do that. I mean, we saw it last season where we scored 2 goals in, I think, 5 minutes. But this team is different. And it's nice to see the hunger, because, like I said, there's some seasons where we pack it in because, cool, we'll take this loss and we'll see what we can do next.
Agreed. So with that, Earl, any closing thoughts on anything else?
No, not really. Just it was nice to actually be on here this week. I know we just kind of like last minute
Yeah, it was kind of all up in the air with the Open Cup match on Tuesday, and then Seth having some stuff going on tonight. But with the draw, the Open Cup draw falling the way that it did, and us being able to host an MLS side with the FC Juarez news, and then the game that we had on Tuesday and the game coming up, felt like we had to get somebody down here. So if I did a terrible job compared to Seth hosting, I apologize. But we really wanted to get something out to the fans, to you guys, this week instead of skipping a week altogether. So thank you, Josh and Christina, for being in the chat and active. Thank you for everybody that watches. Thank you, everybody that listens on the podcast player of their choice. Please rate and review us on those. And then I've done a better job of trying to reach out to people while I'm at the match, while I'm at matches, and kind of put a actual person instead of just somebody talking on a screen to our names here. So I saw Tom, who's a watcher of ours, at the match. Saw Kevin again and spoke with him for a second. And so, Josh, I still need to meet with you. We're always at the matches, but I never see what looks to be Obi-Wan Kenobi looking guy at a match. So I'm not sure exactly what you look like. So if you see me, come up, say hello, introduce yourself. I would love that. Or Earl or Seth. I know we would all appreciate that. So Earl, unless you got anything else, I think we're good for the night. We will be back next Tuesday to break down the North Carolina match, to preview a Tampa Bay Rowdies match, and to talk about anything else. I'm sure we'll get some thoughts about the Open Cup from Seth, who couldn't make it. We're going to eventually have Harry on the show, talk about how he's feeling about the season. You know, San Antonio's kind of been a little bit of a roller coaster. I know he's had some issues with front office stuff there, pricing and stuff like that. So we want to get his thoughts on stuff like that and see what happens. And so Josh says Meow Wolf night tickets are already secured. And he, next time he sees me, he will say hi. So I appreciate that. I don't know
and
when
I will not night. Be at Meow Wolf night. It's May 11th. Sure
that's oh, that's Meow Wolf night's then?
May 11th. Unfortunately, I won't be able to make it. I have my brother's track meet that day and a wedding to go to that afternoon, that night. So I will not be at Meow Wolf night.
Well, I will be there. If it's May 11th, then I will probably be seeing if I can take my wife, because she likes to go to Meow Wolf night. And yeah, I always thought it, I always remember it being in October-ish.
August, October.
Yeah, later in the season, but cool. So I will be there on the 11th. I will be at the Open Cup match as well. I've already got clearance to do that. So be back-to-back matches for me, hopefully. Even if I'm not a Meow Wolf, I will be at the Real Salt Lake match. I want to say Real Monarchs every time because that's who we are used to playing, but it's not them. And so, again, thank everybody. Thanks everybody for sticking around, for watching, for listening. Earl, thank you for kind of coming on, putting this together at the last minute. I know you said like 9 o'clock and I've kept you here a little too late. So we will go ahead and get out of here, and I will say somos unidos to all of you, and we will see you next week.